Praise God. Thank you, Teddy. Yes, I was out there in the parking lot for some time, and I didn't see Teddy, as usual, passing by. So I was like, if Teddy doesn't come, I wonder how things will go. So I was blessed when I entered in here, and she was already here. So thank God for that. Thank you for coming. Bob, I think this is your first time this year. Yeah. Now, this, I think, is going to be the last study we are doing from our book. Eh? This could be the last, I was supposed to do this study. We were supposed to have this Bible study last week. But last week at around 3, as I was preparing to pick my children from school and then come here, my car got issues. Eh? So now that disorganization of the car stopping on the road and then having to get an Uber, then call a mechanic, So I was like, let me just cancel the Bible study. Okay, but thank God we are here today and we are going to have a great time. Amen. Let us open the books, and we read, let's open page 15. Yeah, there is a sub chapter, what? Anyway. Yeah, entitled, Taught to Obey. Okay? The topic for this study is obedience. All right? Obedience as far as financial prosperity is concerned. All right? So that's why we're reading page 15. And I wrote and say that the year was 2012. I had given. Okay? You remember, God had told me, I think in 1998, that if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you will never see financial depression in your life. So now this is 14 years later, I had given, I was working in love, because remember there was that dream which came, remember that dream? Creflo Dollar and Joyce Meyer. The dream in which Joyce Meyer told me never to separate love and prosperity. All right? So I had given, I was working in love to the best I knew how. So God, by covenant, had the obligation to ensure that I did not suffer lack. During this period, I was unemployed because my job contract had ended, and I was waiting for another opportunity I had been shown in a dream. In spite of my unemployment status, God faithfully saw to it that money came to me and my family miraculously. We surely did not lack. This was a season in which the third lesson concerning prosperity was revealed to me. A night just before I completely ran out of money, I received a dream telling me what to do in order to receive provision. Out of pride, I disobeyed that instruction, and, calamity hit. All right? That experience was extremely painful, for I had faithfully given, I had worked in love, and I had seen luck only once in 2006 for a short duration. Eh? And you remember, I also wrote somewhere why I had seen luck in 2006 for that short period of time. Eh? It had to do with love. Eh? Okay, so now since 2006 up to 2012, I hadn't seen luck. Okay, then just before I ran out of money that night, I received a dream, God telling me what to do. Okay, and like as we have read, out of pride, I disobeyed that dream. All right, and calamity hit. Okay, basically, I ran out of money. Okay, and it was so painful. Just imagine, from 1998, okay, to 2012, okay, you have run out of money only once. Do you understand? And you have this belief that, you know, nothing can go bad, you know. Then all of a sudden it hits. And you have this promise from God. It's another thing if you run out of money and you don't have a promise from God. You're like, yeah, this is normal. I think it will work out. I can call so and so. But now for me it was different. I had a covenant with God. You see, that it was so painful, eh? All right? But I knew why it had what happened. Okay? All right? Man, it was bad. Eh? Okay? It was what? It was bad. Okay? So, from that moment, I learned to always obey God's instructions, and I am now grateful for that lesson. I did not have to go through that school of hard knocks, but now I had another weapon in my arsenal against financial insufficiency, the weapon of obedience. Glory be to God. Amen? Okay? So today, we're talking about obedience. Okay? Let's also open page 92. Page 92. The last paragraph on page 92. The conclusion of that chapter. Yes, I wrote and say that in his book, How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit, Kenneth Hagin recounted a vision he had in 1959 in which Jesus said that if we learn to listen to the inward witness of his Spirit, he will make us wealthy. Okay? All right? So this is key. I read that experience from Hagin, eh? And the Lord told him, okay, that if you learn to listen to the inward witness, of course, when you listen, you should also obey what you have heard. And Jesus told him that, you know, if my children learned how to do that, I'll make them wealthy. Okay? So again, he's also talking about listening and obeying what you have heard. Glory be to God. Okay, now, the last lessons that we learned that love is necessary if we're going to prosper. Okay, tithing, giving. The last time we're here, we talked about work. All right, people have to work. Okay, some people, you know, don't want to work, you know, and they think somehow money will just rain down from heaven, but we have to work, all right? So all those things have to be obeyed. You understand? Eh? We have to obey to love. We have to obey to give. We have to obey to work. We have to obey the instructions God gives us. So in a sense, it looks like obedience is actually the most important thing. Glory be to God. Obedience is the most important what? Is the most important thing. Disobedience is lethal, eh? Okay? I went through that experience, eh? And I know what it means. 2012, eh? Okay? It looks like it was many years ago, eh? But when I add, it's just 6 years, but you know, eh? And I remember that. In fact, I remember that evening when things went bad. I remember it very well. I was at Good African Coffee with Elvis that evening. I remember it very well. It was bad. All right? Yeah. So, obedience. Glory be to God. Obedience, man. So, to me, when I see people disobeying God and they are taking, especially those clear instructions, a clear dream, a clear and undeniable prophecy, what to do, where to go, you know, how to serve the Lord. And people are taking those things lightly. I feel sorry for them. You know, all right? Obedience is the key, all right? Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Most of you know this scripture that we're going to read. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. All right? If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Okay? Almost every Christian is willing, okay, to eat the good of the land, to prosper. But not all of them, or not all of us, actually are obedient. You understand? Eh? So there are wishes, there are desires, there are, you know, eh? They just stop there because, okay, willingness goes hand in hand with obedience. All right? Genesis chapter 2, okay, we're going to see, we're going to remind ourselves where poverty and lack began. Okay? In summary, lack and poverty came as a result of disobedience. All right? And lack and poverty is still in existence today, okay, even among Christians, primarily because of disobedience. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. From verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay? God has given a command. Okay? Remember, the guy is in the Garden of Eden. Eh? All right? Okay? He's in plenty, eh? You know. Okay? In a sense, we can use the word prosperous. Okay? But God gave him one instruction. Just obey this one instruction. Okay? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told him, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. All right? Let's jump to chapter 3. Chapter 3 from verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The guy who had been told, don't eat. All right? Can you imagine being in a world where you just have one commandment to obey? That was bliss. Eh? Right now, there are so many things to obey. What? Eh? Are you tithing? Are you walking in love? I tell you, we have to worship the Lord. You understand? Eh? Then the government adds other things. Eh? You can't run the red lights, you know. Eh? So many things, you have to be at work at 8. Eh? You can't leave the office until after 5. But in the days In the good days of Adam and Eve, they had one thing, one commandment, don't eat. Okay? But the guy ate. Okay? And verse 17 to 19, we see some of the consequences. Okay? Verse 17, then to Adam, he, God, said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the fruit of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb or the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Okay? God told Adam, because you have disobeyed me, okay, cursed is the ground for your sake. The ground from which provision, you know, was to come from. Okay? The God said, because of disobedience, cursed is the ground. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. As in, things are going to be tight. To make a 10K, okay? You know, things are going to be tight. So this is the beginning of what? Of poverty and lack. Okay? And it is just disobedience. Okay? And that is one of, in a sense, I can say that it is, to this day, in a sense, it is the only reason, okay, why there is poverty and lack, even in the church. Okay? You can trace all these issues that happen to people, okay, to this one thing, disobedience. Okay? You don't have money to buy water. Probably, God gave you the money to buy water. And he told you, don't give it away. Please buy water. And you disobeyed. Okay? And you gave the money to no man. You even did a good thing. Okay? Sometimes, actually, God is pleased with that. You should have bought water, but you sacrificed and you gave it to someone else. God is like, I'm pleased. Okay? And for that matter, I'll bless you. But other times, he's like, please. Especially when you're giving it to someone, God doesn't want what? To give it to. Either God is teaching that person a lesson. You know, you have kids, don't you? 3 kids. Okay? Alright? So, your parents, sometimes you chastise what? Kids. Alright? So, the Bible says, God also disciplines. He chastises. That's for our sake. So sometimes you find, there might be some guy God is teaching a lesson. He's chastising, disciplining. Okay? Probably the guy has refused to work. Alright? Christian, born again, you are in the same church, same whatever. Okay? Same Bible study, home cell. Okay? And now God is disciplining this guy. Okay? So God is like, please don't give that guy money. I'm teaching him a lesson. That money is for your water. Then you give the guy money and God is like, for that one, no blessing. Okay? And then you might have to go 2 days without water. Okay? And in that sense, even you, God will be teaching you a lesson. To always obey him. Do you understand? Okay? I'm making light of these things I'm giving for an example, but these things are very serious. Glory be to God. Very what? Serious. Obedience. Okay? Again, like I said, we have learned or we reminded ourselves in the past studies that we have to give, we have to tithe, we have to
work, we have to do, we have to love, okay? But it doesn't help us if we hear all those things and we don't obey. All right? We have to obey those things. All right? When I think about this Bible study, I was like, hey, wait a minute. It coincides kind of with what we learned on Sunday. Okay? I hope you didn't disappoint your daughter. Your daughter had said, eh? Did she come on Sunday? Hey. She had said what? You shouldn't miss Sunday. And so, yeah, you remember? We talked about, we read that verse where Jesus said, okay, not all those who call me Lord, Lord shall enter what? The kingdom of heaven. Eh? Okay? Then he says, people come to me, but Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out devils, did miracles. And he said, no, depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of what? Of iniquity, eh? Workers of lawlessness, those who practice lawlessness. Okay? So in a sense, they didn't obey God. They just did their own things and evil things. And God was like, out. You see, Okay? And on Sunday, I told you guys that we should all go and pray and seek God whether my opinion was right. That man, according to the scriptures I read, it looks like some people, man, those who practice sin, Christians who practice sin, okay, man, are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, which sounds like that they're not going to go to heaven. Doesn't it sound like that, Judith? Anyway, we said we go and what? Seek God and say, is this true? All right? So anyway, I found this interesting that it's kind of a similar study. So maybe when a season when God is emphasizing obedience. Okay? So poverty came because of disobedience. Okay? If poverty came because of disobedience, it means poverty still exists. Okay? Primarily because of disobedience. Okay? If a child is broke, that one is, it is not because of what? Disobedience, as in the child is disobedience. They are suffering for the stupidity of their parents, or grandparents, whatever, disobedience, by the way, is very bad. Please don't take this thing lightly. It's very bad. All the problems you're seeing in the world right now, it was because of the disobedience of one man. All the problems, some of the things you're going through, it is not your fault. All right? Yeah. Judith, one day, someone might find you in the what? Labor suit. Okay? Hopefully you won't feel the pain, but in case you feel the pain, okay, always remember that in a sense, it is not primarily your fault. To some guys, your forefather, who brought these issues. Okay? The disobedience of Adam and Eve. Okay? That's the origin of what? Labor pains. Isn't that so, Joanne? Okay? But these days, you can what? Go around those things. Just elective what? Elective caesarean section. The first caesarean section I did in internship in Hoima. Okay, this is 2002. The first I did on my own. Okay, the others which I did with assistance of the lead surgeon. But on my own, the first one, man, they were twins. First caesarean section. Teddy looks at me and he wonders, this guy, caesarean? I can't see you pass as, the first caesarean, man. That the thrill of taking out one baby, two baby, and give them to the nurse, and the nurse, then now you have to, anyway, Glory be to God. Yeah. Okay, but disobedience is horrible. Eh? You understand? Eh? Okay, and sometimes if you want to know how horrible it is, eh, you just pray for God to give you an experience. Eh? Okay, pray for God to give you a major instruction, and then pray to God to give you the grace to disobey it. Eh? Okay, and then you will learn a lesson, and from that day, okay, for me, I had my experience, which we have read, okay, on page 15, okay, and man, it was painful. Glory be to God. Okay, let's see, this is not necessarily concerned with, rather related to prosperity, but again, it's really teaches us how terrible disobedience is. Okay? From the life of Saul, Saul, the first king of Israel. First Samuel chapter 15, from verse 1, it says that Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Alright? God is like, kill those guys, all of them, because of something they did many years ago. I've never forgotten. Okay? You're like, but God, okay? God, I have never forgotten those guys. Okay, and by the way, God had given a promise, eh? Okay? In Exodus chapter 17, eh? Okay? After Amalek had attacked Israel on their way from Egypt to the promised land, okay? So they attacked, and then Joshua and Moses, they fought against them, and they won. Okay? After winning that battle, Exodus 17, verse 14 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Okay? Good. Because of what these guys have done, you have won the battle, they are defeated, but please write this down. Okay? Probably because even me, God, I've written down, I've written it in heaven. Okay? It will never be forgotten, as in it has to be fulfilled. One day. Yes, I'm sure there were like over 100 years which passed. Okay? Because remember when they came into Egypt, then there was the era of the judges. Many years, more than 100. Okay? Joan, how many years were they until Saul? Okay. I'm sure there were more than 100 or 200. But God's like, I've never forgotten. I made a promise. I made a promise that ngena kolachi, ngena kubata one day. Okay? Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, again more concerning that whole issue. Moses said, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you are coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary. And it did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be
when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Alright? So, because God is faithful, He keeps His word. Okay? Many years later, more than 100 years later, okay, He's like, the time to fulfill that word has come. The time to kill all those guys for what they did. Okay? Meanwhile, the guys even lost the battle. But God is like, you lost, and now you're even going to what? Be cleared from the face of the earth. Okay, that tribe is going to become extinct. That's a word. The species. Okay? Can you imagine when your tribe becomes extinct? Your tribe, we only read about it in history books. Can you imagine? A tribe. Okay? So now, the time had what? Had come. So God tells Saul through Samuel, go at destroy everything. Even the women, even the children, the nursing babies, all of them, all the animals, destroy. Because I gave that what? I say that one day it will be done. And I even told someone to write it. So there's nothing I can do about it. It cannot be changed because it was written down. Do you understand? So that was a serious thing. Okay? God gives you that command. You play around with it. You have played around with a major command. You understand? That is not a command to disobey. Because God, you know, He has told heaven and angels know God has said. God said. And they're like, you know, the devil also knows. So the devil has been waiting to see whether this is God, whether He fulfills His word. Do you understand? Then God chooses you. He believes in you. You know, He's like, no man, I just give this, you know, if I need something to be done, no man is my guy. Okay? God has told so many people, on this day I'm going to do this. You understand? Judith has dreamt, Joanne has dreamt, Teddy has dreamt, Teddy's grandmother in Kabale has dreamt. She even doesn't know what's happening, but she has just dreamt. She calls, yes, that thing in our church. You understand? Okay? Museveni dreams the same thing. So it's major. So God tells you to do it. You know, there's a lot at stake, His name. Then you disobey it. Okay? So Teddy's grandmother is going to call her. Did it happen? Did that dream come, you know? I said, no. You know, then, you understand? So now it's like, God is a liar. God is not, you understand? His name is at stake. So now this is what was what happening. All right? Then let's read and see what happened next. Verse 7. Let's read from verse 7. Okay? So Saul obeyed and he went. Okay? It says, and Saul attacked the Amalekites, okay, from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Agag was a king, okay? And they also spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. And they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. Okay? But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. But the point is, they didn't destroy everything. They even left one guy alive, Agag, the king. Now, that was major, what? That was major disobedience proper. Something had been written down, Moses Yafada, but left a record that you guys, God is going to do this. All right? The angels know, you know, okay? Children have been reading that prophecy for years. They die, never again, never. They are reading that what? Prophecy. The devils know, eh? The Amalekites are also waiting for that day. And this guy, man, disobeyed God. He didn't destroy everything. All right? He didn't. Okay? Let's jump to verse 17. Verse 17, from verse 17 to 23, it says, "So Samuel said to Saul, 'When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said to Samuel, 'But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.'" Liar, isn't it? Okay? Well, can you imagine? You disobey and you even tell God, "I obeyed." "But the people," Saul is still speaking, "say, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God." To Samuel. The people came there to sacrifice, in fact, not to me, to the Lord your God. Can you see how the guy is making it look good? Okay? Like, no man. The Lord tells you, I want you to be in the LAT worship team. Okay? Then you disobey and you go to another church. Alright? You go to another church and you join the worship team there. Okay? Then God sends Prophet Bob. Okay? Prophet Bob sends him to Norman. Okay? And Prophet Bob says, "You have disobeyed the Lord your God." Then Norman tells Prophet Bob, "But I obeyed. Okay? I came to this church and I'm worshiping your God. Am I not worshiping your God, moreover?" You know, but you have disobeyed. You're not supposed to worship him from there. You're in the wrong place. You see, this is what this guy who did. So Samuel, verse 22, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?' Okay? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Okay? To obey is better than doing another good thing for God. Okay? If you do some other good thing for God instead of what he told you, okay, God is like, that is rubbish. Okay? And actually, you know, he calls it witchcraft. Okay? That is in verse 23. "For rebellion," disobedience, "is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness, not doing what God has told you to do, is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Do you see how disobedience is what? It's horrible. But you even don't have to know that story to know that it is horrible. You just need to know, you know what happened to Adam. You just need to look at the world, the sufferings that are going on in the world. The wars, the famines, the troubles in families, between siblings, between husband and wife. You understand? Okay? It all came because of what? Disobedience. Okay? And when it, as far as prosperity is concerned, one of the major reasons why people are in lack, okay, somehow you can trace it to disobedience. Okay? Okay? So in a sense, these things of God, all these things of what? Prosperity are that simple. Prosperity is as simple as obedience. Just obey. Okay? So, Saul was rejected as king. Okay? But it didn't end there. Okay? Years later, something, you know, horrible happened again because he didn't destroy the Amalekites. All right? Let's read 2 Samuel. Let's open 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Okay? Okay? So one day, Saul and Israel went out to war. All right? And to cut a long story short, it is during this battle, okay, that Saul died. Okay? So, 2 Samuel chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. He said, "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites." You can see, these guys are still alive. Saul didn't what? Destroy all of them. Okay? "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, 'Where have you come from?' So he said to him, 'I have escaped from the camp of Israel.' Then David said to him, 'How did the matter go?'" As in, how did the war go, eh? "Please tell me." And he answered, "The people," okay, our people, eh, the Israelites, "have fled from the battle. Many of the people are dead and fallen. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead?" Then the young man told him, then the young man who told him said, "As I happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' So I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said to me again, 'Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me.' So I stood over him and killed him." Okay? I stood over him and did what? And killed him. So who killed Saul? An Amalekite. Okay? The people Saul was supposed to destroy are the ones who finished him. Do you understand? So you can see another consequence of disobedience. That thing which you disobey, that command which you take lightly, okay, might be the one to finish you. All right? Might be the one to cause you havoc, okay? To bring unnecessary trouble in your life. Yet if you had obeyed it, you understand, it would work for you. Okay? God told the guy, kill the Amalekites. He didn't. In fact, this shows us that it was not only Agag who was spared, but there were others. Amalekites he didn't kill. And it is the Amalekite that was supposed to kill that ultimately put an end to his life. So that's how horrible
disobedience is. Glory be to God. Okay? So the lesson is, let us what? Obey whatever we know God has told us to do. Especially for purposes of this Bible study, let us obey things God has told us to do as far as our finances are concerned. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? We should be like Elijah, Prophet Elijah, and the widow. They obeyed the Lord during famine, and they prospered. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elisha, the Tishbite, or the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." The man has just declared a famine. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Okay? The key thing there is Elijah obeyed. Okay? He had an option of staying in the city. Because if there's a famine, which I will tell him, you understand? It is safer to what? To stay in the city. Okay? City somehow, you can make ends meet. Isn't it? Okay? But Elijah was like, man, you had better obey what? Obey God. So he obeyed God, and you can see he prospered in famine. Okay? There was water, constant water, man, a brook. Okay? Had the water for him. All right? And then ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Okay? So he was well off. Okay? He had all the provision he needed because he obeyed God. Glory be to God. Okay? 1 Kings 17, verse 7. Okay, we continue to read. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Okay? In other words, I've commanded someone broke to do what? To provide for you. So Elijah can send Neda. And that guy is broke. Yeah? You understand? For me, I know someone else who's what? Prosperous. That's where I'm going. You see, I mean, Elijah had options. He could say, no, a widow, I even don't know her. And then he told me, a widow. And our widows in Israel, especially in famine, I'm not going there. You know, even if I go there, I mean, she will just starve me. We shall just be eating 1 meal a day. A widow. But I mean, I know some guy was the king's friend. I can go there. Okay? But Elijah, I think he had an experience, probably like me. An experience when one day he disobeyed God. Okay? And he suffered hunger. So the guy wasn't afraid to disobey. Even when God had told him that go somewhere, birds will bring you food. He did disobey. Birds ravens. That food is contaminated. It's dirty. Ravens. Elijah, I think Elijah had an experience.
Huh? You know, he must have had some prior experience. Probably had gone through the school of hard knocks, where now he can even accept birds to bring him food. Yeah? And there's something I've just remembered it. I had it a long time ago. I think ravens are among the birds which the Jews were not supposed to eat. I think, and I don't know. So that, now just imagine an unclean bird. It is one which is bringing you food. So honestly, Elijah must have had what? Some experience which is not recorded in the Bible, where he learned that, man, this God, you had better obey him. Otherwise, things will go bad. Don't you think so? I think so. You see? So anyway, now they tell him now, after bad, now a widow. But it says in verse 10 that he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Okay? And Bambi, she obeyed. I think she saw this poor old man. So, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, and please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Okay? Do not fear. Go and do as you've said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Okay? Now even her, she's being given, something to either obey or disobey. All right? Okay? We are studying about obedience as far as prosperity is concerned. Okay? Elijah obeyed, went to the brook, Cherith, and when he was there, he prospered during famine. An instruction comes, now leave. Okay? Go. There's a word I've commanded. So he goes. He obeys. And when he gets there, all right, through him, God also gives a command to a widow who's going to eat her last meal. And God is also telling her, you can obey me and all will be well. Or you can disobey. And when you disobey, your prophecy will come to pass. You will eat that last meal with your son and you die. Do you understand? Instructions. Instructions. Okay? Every now and again, there will be instructions what we should do. Okay? They are instructions. All right? So, verse 14, it says, okay, Elijah tells her, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bin of flour, okay, shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Okay? So, she, the widow, went away and did according to the word of Elijah. Okay? Basically, the widow obeyed. Alright? And she and he and the household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoke by Elijah. Glory be to God. All right? Elijah prospered in famine because of obedience. Went, you know, to the brook. Then later came to the widow. And the widow also obeyed and gave to the man of God. And she did not run out of provision. Glory be to God. Amen. I hope this encourages us to obey. Okay? For those of you who are obeying, to continue obeying. Okay? Never to stop obeying God. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 28, as we close, as I finish. Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 1. Okay? Okay? Talking about obedience as it relates to prosperity. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. That's the condition. All right? Obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you above all nations of the earth. If you do what? If you obey. All these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Tell me why. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You understand? Obedience is major. Obedience, I'm telling you, is the most important thing as far as prosperity is concerned. It is the most important thing. The most important thing is not giving. Okay? Because you have to obey to give anyway. You understand? All right? And you can give, okay? Like we read in my book, you can give, and now God gives you an instruction where to go or what to do to get provision. So if you disobey that instruction, your giving was in vain. Or it will benefit you later, but for now, you're going to suffer for nothing. Because you haven't obeyed to go where, okay, the raven is. Do you understand? All right? So God tells these guys, all these blessings will come upon you if you obey. Okay? He says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Is it city or city? Okay? Judith was studied in the UK, so it's what? City. In Leicester, you were. But in London, I guess it's what? But I hope you know that your what? Your club owner died. The Thailand guy. But she made some money from that club. Leicester, eh? Yeah, Leicester, when she was there. Yeah, she worked there. And she didn't know that guys were taking the cup. Can you imagine? She didn't know what was happening in the league, but she was working at the club, you know, some hours, and she didn't know. Can you imagine that the club she's working at, okay, is winning a league? It is us Ugandans who tell her that, man, do you know what's happening to her? Anyway, your what? Your former what? Payer. Bambi. He passed away. Okay? Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. I'm reading prosperity verses for your own information. Okay? Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Again, remember, it's because of what? Obedience. You know, you find them shouting these what? Verses. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed. You know, that man, I'm blessed. Eh? Yeah? You know, Andrew Mark says, when you greet him, he tells you, I'm blessed. Eh? Then guys, you know, they got it and started for a few months also. Eh? Then later, they forgot how to respond when someone tells you, how are you? You know, okay? They forgot that you're supposed to say, I'm blessed. Okay, okay. And so, you know, you understand? Eh? And it's true, they are blessed. Eh? All right? But those blessings are going to manifest if you diligently obey. So, for some reason, they don't what? They don't also quote the, you know, verse 1. But they, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed. And for some reason, I don't know whether it is deliberate, but verse 1, you never hear it. Have you ever heard it? A guy telling you verse 1. In fact, do you know what they will say? No, that was the law. That was the law. Diligently obeying the command. That was the law. Now we are in what? Grace. All right? But, you know, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Eh? Glory be to God. Okay? Even in grace, eh? You understand? Eh? Even in this dispensation, we are still called to obey. Do you understand? Eh? Okay? Okay, verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise, okay, against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. All right. Verse 11. Okay. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. All right? The blessings. And they are all tied to what? Obedience. Glory be to God. All right? They are all tied to what? Obedience. Hallelujah. That's why I can boldly tell you, obedience is the most important thing as far as prosperity is concerned. The widow had to obey to give of the little she had. You understand? Eh? Elijah had to obey. Elijah, I think, had nothing to give. But he was in God's perfect will. He had done God's work. Okay, now because a laborer is worth of his wages and God has to take care of his servant, yeah, okay, that servant is given an instruction and he has to obey it. No, the servant of the Lord can die. And people say, but nah, yeah, the servant of the Lord, Mukama, this God's servant, Mukama, couldn't you see your servant? And he gave an accurate prophecy, no rain for 3.5 years. Accurate. And Bambi, the guy died of hunger. But the things of God are mysterious. Mkama taguayo, eh? Mkama tosora kumomanya no mumalayo. Now you're saying that because you don't know, eh? That yes, the man was a servant for the Lord. But he was also walking, you know what? He also walked in disobedience. God had told him, leave Kampala, go to Mubende. Okay, there's a widow I've commanded. And you know, Mubende chicken, that roadside chicken. How many of you have eaten that chicken? But it's not only Mubende, anyway, all those roads that go out up country. That chicken, eh? That chicken. Teddy, just pray you marry a guy who has never tasted that chicken. Otherwise, you might never convince him that your food is the best. Have you tasted it? Yeah? Like Nabingola, I think there's this play, another play. Anyway. So you see, Elijah had to obey. Glory be to God. Okay, we read, you read in this book, I didn't obey. I had given, I was working in love. Okay? I didn't have a job. And I didn't have a job because I was in the perfect will of God. I was waiting for another opportunity, you know, God has shown me in a dream. Okay? So I didn't have a job for many months. But man, and I didn't beg. Money was coming. Okay? Yeah, then the night before I ran out of money, I had a dream. Okay? And the dream, God was telling me what to do. He gave me an instruction how to get money the following day. Okay? A week earlier, I'd even had a dream when I went to shop at a place in a dream. And the place was called Spenders. Okay? You know, like a spa market? You enter and it's called Spenders. Okay? Meaning that it is for spenders. If you don't have the ability to spend, that place is not for you. You know, I had that dream, man. Because already, you know, a week earlier, things that were starting to get tight. You know, so you're thinking, now I have a promise. Joy for better. You understand? Okay? Then God gives you a dream. When you are entering, a mall called Spenders. So God will say, you will still spend. Do you understand? That was what it meant. You will still spend, meaning you will have the money to spend. Okay? Then the night before, I ran out of money. Okay? That is like 6 days after the spender's dream. An instruction came. I think for years, people are wondering, what was that instruction? Okay? It's none of your business. Your business is obey your things. Okay, for me, I disobeyed mine and I ended up in trouble. Because it's a dream and spenders. Okay, I knew God was like, you're going to spend. In fact, you know, then an instruction came how to get money to spend so that the other dream is fulfilled. You understand? And I disobeyed it. And calamity hit. Okay, but all things work together for good. All right? Because after that experience, I learned that obedience is key. You can joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving. But if you don't obey, okay, you might mess yourself up. Okay? And after that lesson, all right, of course, after I learned those lessons years later, God tells me now, all those things I've taught you, put them in a book. Okay? So I think as I was going through that experience, God knew that one day I'll tell him to teach my people to always obey me. Especially since I truly did, he has felt what? The pain of disobedience. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah.